Welcome to today's edition of the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on security. I'm Evan Schumann. One of the most frustrating truths in retail security has always been that, by definition, it has no meaningful ROI. Well, at least no return on investment in the sense that CFOs and board members view ROI. No chance at improving revenue nor profit. At best, it's risk avoidance. And even that is dicey. If security is in place and you're not breached, how do you really know that you would have been otherwise? And given the American consumer's historic pattern of continuing to shop at chains that have been publicized as having had breaches, it's not that simple to craft the amount of risk you're successfully avoiding. But some clever IT execs have navigated around this, using PCI-fueled dollars to invest in related items that really do have concrete ROI, such as an upgraded POS system that could move lines faster or display gorgeous ads while doing so. With us today to try to discuss how to achieve real ROI out of security is Malik Vellani, the Director of Global Product Strategy at S1. Let's just jump into this. Malik, what are the best ways to turn a security investment into something that's going to even please the spreadsheet lovers?
What we have seen happening is when we speak to IT executives, what we have seen them do is flip the not that attractive or not that appealing data security ROI into a much more cleaner ROI model is by adding things like digital signage or replacement for a point of sale that enables direct marketing, or thinking about or adding mobile strategy specifically around the security of how they are planning on using the mobile, both in-store as well as for the consumer. Things like e-commerce, all these features and functionalities, clever IT executives are adding into the overall request for security investments to the CFO level. I mean, the bottom line is it needs to be attractive, it needs to add more profitability, and the bottom line is it needs to improve the overall data security structure for the organization.
There is no shortage of irony in the fact that just a few years ago, an IT director or a CIO were having a lot of difficulty getting the CFO, COO level, getting the senior executives to buy into security investments with a lot of pressure on profits and going that route. Now, with PCI becoming much more mainstream, a lot of states putting pressure and other areas, the CFO now is perfectly fine with spending X million dollars on PCI. And ironically, the thing has flipped. So now the profitability becomes essential, but is a secondary element.
Yes, it does. I mean, profitability does become a secondary element, but you also have to look at two aspects of it. First of all, the effect of direct profitability, and the second is, what do I do, or if I'm making an investment in security, what are the cost savings or the indirect profitability? Now, for example, what we have seen happen is as IT executives go to their CFOs and they ask for investment dollars, some of the recommendations that they are putting in and they are making those effective changes in their store infrastructure is, for example, imposing pins. Now, we have statistics. We all have seen that there has been a substantial growth in the usage of debit cards. Now, what we have seen happen is with these investments in security and as new devices are being put into production, they are putting certain rules in place as in when and where if a consumer uses the debit card, rather than prompting the consumer saying, okay, how do you want to use this card? They're forcing the consumer to enter their PIN because now the systems know that you are using a debit card. The overall effect of that is that it substantially reduces the cost of transaction. A PIN debit transaction has a far less interchange rate compared to a signature transaction done on the same card. Now, that's one aspect of it. Talking about specific PCI, the other aspect of it is how do you invest into PCI so that it does not only reduce your initial capital expenditure, but it also reduces recurring costs? I mean, you have to realize PCI or data security has both a initial cost associated with it as well as recurring costs. What we have seen happen in the market lately is retailers are looking for solutions, or retailers are looking for options that would take away PCI from their infrastructure. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the PCI SSC announced their recommendations around, or the suggestions around, point-to-point encryption and tokenization. Both of these features bring in the options of removing certain, both in-store as well as central entities, out of scope from PCI. So that improves or reduces the overall cost of data security. Other options would also be putting in a stronger fraud detection solution. Seen a number of IT executives ask us about the option of using a third-party vendor to host their payments infrastructure. This could be either via a hosted service, or it could be either via an ASP model. But again, this is not something for all retailers or all merchants. This is something that has been inquired about by some selective retailers and merchants who do not want to manage their own payments infrastructure. So there are multiple ways of doing this.
You mentioned a little while ago the debit versus credit issue and the interchange impact. But isn't there also a security impact, a risk avoidance, if you will, impact on credit versus debit, that when debit cards do glitch, the impact on the consumer can be far more immediate and far more dramatic than credit, which could ultimately impact whether consumers would allow breaches to roll off their back as easily?
If you look at it literally, then the answer is yes. But what's happening is the issuers are now more forgiving, in the sense that if there is a breach, for example, if there is a fraud done on a debit card, then yes, the funds are immediately removed from the cardholder's account. But the issuers do realize that breaches do happen. They do realize that fraud is prevalent in a number of retail environments. Hence, they pretty easily reverse the funds and put it back into the consumer's account. I mean, they're catering for that. So I mean, yes, from a security perspective, using PIN debit may have an immediate effect if the PIN is compromised. But the option is, the only aspect or the only way a PIN would be compromised if someone has your card number, someone has your track data, and that person also has your PIN number. So the chances are, the options are pretty small, but yes, it can occur. But again, for that small, I would say, window, issuers do consider or do put the funds back into the consumer's account if there is a breach on their debit cards.
That's true, but they often will do it after there have been a lot of bounced checks. There's no easy way to clean up the damage those can cause. Merely throwing out the idea that debit cards, by their very nature, by their immediate bank account access, can offer a tremendously different set of risk avoidance issues than compared with credit. It's just something to bear in mind as we start shifting from one to the other. You'd mentioned one other item. You talked about out of scope. And how far can that go? Because one of the issues on out of scope has been that a lot of companies have been pushing that this or another thing will take them out of scope. Is anything truly going to be out of scope in PCI in terms of the retailers still have to go through the paperwork, they still have to go through the maintenance, the process, the assessments? So isn't it more a matter of that these changes to make a breach much less likely as opposed to taking it out of scope? People hear out of scope and they think that I'll no longer have to deal with all the PCI activity and problems and all the cost and time associated with that. And most of the packages out there don't actually materially change the amount of time or effort a retailer has to spend on PCI?
A very good question. In fact, this question has been asked to us by a number of retailers that we do talk to when we talk about out of scope. I mean, an out of scope is not a blanket statement saying that, okay, because your environment is out of scope, now I can do whatever I want to, or I don't have to get this environment recertified or re-audited. No, that is not the case. Out of scope meaning, essentially means that that environment or similar to that environment is out of scope, as in you still have to certify, but you don't have to go into intrinsic details. The auditor does not have to go into every specific details of what are the touch points of a card in CLEAR. For example, when we talk about point-to-point encryption, that is encryption from generally from, let's say, the point of swipe to, let's say, the central switch, in which case, if that is implemented, doesn't mean that the retailer now does not have to get their stores validated. They still have to get their store validated, but the effort involved is far less. So it's not, again, as I said earlier, it's not a blanket statement that you don't have to ever certify again. You have to. But the overall effort involved is far less because, A, what you have done is you have standardized your environment. You're saying, okay, I have taken certain aspects of my environment and tried to reduce the scope, removed certain aspects or certain data security aspects away from it. So if I have done that, when an auditor goes in to audit the environment, the touch point is reduced significantly. Hence, the overall effort involved to certify is also reduced. But again, doesn't mean you don't have to recertify the environment.
Well, excellent answer, and we appreciate your insight right now on all of these issues. For the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on security, this is Evan Schumann.